Welcome to the Confidence Lounge podcast, where we cover all things confidence in life and business. I'm your host, Elise Conroy, and I'm on a passionate mission to help thousands of women across the world feel more confident from the inside out. Because not on my watch am I ever going to watch another woman do insecure life and business again. So if you're ready to become your most confident self, mama, or businesswoman, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So grab your favorite beverage, get nice and comfy, and get ready to receive today's confidence injection. Hey, my beautiful friend, how are we feeling this week? Okay, I gotta tell you, we just got back from wine country as a part of my birthday extravaganza, and it was absolutely incredible. I am so pumped to share some of this energy that is flowing through me right now. I love when I come back from living my best life and I get to just spill this energy all over for you, because that is my goal for every single one of you listening to this podcast, is for you to confidently live your best life. And I don't care what that looks like for you. It could be going and taking adventures in wine country. It could be going on luxury vacations. It could just be feeling content and happy in your own skin and loving who you see in the mirror. Doesn't matter. That is my goal for you. So absorb some of this energy, because I've got all the good vibes coming to you today. We're going to keep this emotional wealth conversation going by diving into how to unlock your potential by overcoming 8 specific feelings that are keeping you stuck. But before we dive into this, I just want to send you some love, because you all are truly the absolute best community in the world. What I have created is beyond anything that I could have ever imagined with you all, and seeing the ripple effect of these conversations that we're having on this podcast. They have literally reached 28 countries. I'm talking Australia, New Zealand, UK, Germany, Mexico, India, the Philippines, Kenya, South Korea, Ukraine, Greece, just wow. Wow. And it is so surreal to me, because when I launched this podcast at the beginning of the year, my whole entire mission was to help women all across the world live their most confident life. And it is happening through the power of having these conversations with you every single week. So thank you for being here. Thank you for my ride or dies. Thank you for just being with me every single week. And I want to just use this as an example of the power of dreaming, the power of getting clear, the power of getting specific, and then taking action to actually make it happen. Because when I set out on this mission, I knew exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. I knew exactly what I wanted to help you with. I knew exactly what this was going to be. And it is so surreal watching this all play back, because so many times before this year, I tried to launch this podcast and it just wasn't working. I was stressed out about what the name was going to be or what mic I should use, all the little things that didn't matter. And I had made a goal for myself in 2022 to launch the podcast. And then I got pregnant and it was like, okay, let's reevaluate, because it seems like I've got a bigger focus at this point of life. Let me get through this pregnancy. Let me birth this amazing child, and then we'll get back to focusing on the podcast. And it was absolutely insane how this all unfolded, because I would be sitting in the chair nursing Micah at like 4 a.m. and all of a sudden it would be like, boom, podcast idea. Oh my God, here's the cover art. Who cares about the mic? Just get this Bose headset for gaming and that's perfect. It's got great sound. Da, 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 da. So it just all started coming together. And I remember it was the last week of 2022. I looked at Mr. Soul Makeup and I was like, I'm going to go upstairs and record and launch my podcast real quick. And he's like, wait, what? Like, hold on. You've been talking about this all year. You've had so much drama about this. Why now? I'm like, because I get it. I see it. And I'm so glad that I did not rush this. I'm so glad I just trusted the process. I'm so glad that I just let everything unfold and trusted the timing and trusted that the intention was there and it would manifest and come into reality at the exact moment it was meant to. And it did. And so January 1st, just like Beyonce dropping an album in the middle of the night, here comes the Confidence Lounge podcast. And seeing this reach thousands of women across the world, seeing all of your messages come through, it is just fulfilling beyond words. I truly wish you all could see my face right now, because there's tears coming in my eyes, because this has been so remarkable. And I could not have done this without you. Thank you so much for your support. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so appreciative for every single share, every single rating, every single review. These help me so much more than you realize. So please keep those coming, because it is because of these reviews that we have just been ranked one of the top 10% podcasts in the world. Like, in the world. I just, like, we've seen that stat when that came through from my hosting company. I was like, hold on, I have a top 10 podcast or top 10% podcast in the world. Like, is this real? What? Like, this is surreal. And what a way to end this year. I'm blown away by you. I'm blown away by me. And I'm so excited because this is just the beginning. We've done almost 100 episodes in a year. We're just going to keep this momentum going. I'm so excited for so many more conversations with you next year and beyond, right? If you have ideas of what you want to hear on this podcast, let me know. I am here for you. I want to make sure that this is your podcast, that you are receiving everything that you possibly need from these conversations. So if you have something that you want me to discuss, if you want advice, if you just have a question you want answered, if you have a block that you are struggling with, a goal that you are having a hard time manifesting, whatever it might be, let me know and I will make content specifically for you because this podcast is for you guys. This is to help you gain the tools that you need to overcome your fears, your doubts, your limiting beliefs, your insecurities, so you can truly step into confidently living your best life. So let's do the damn thing. All right, my friends. So if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I am all about feeling the feels. And a byproduct of spending time with me is going to be feeling your feelings. So please don't hang up now. I've got you. We're going to do this in a really safe way to help you get out of your head and back into your body. And I want to just talk to you overall about feelings. And then what we're going to do is dive into 8 very specific feelings that I see blocking the women I work with every single day. And I want to just bring attention to this to ensure that you are aware of this, to ensure that you see this, to ensure that you have control over this, because how we feel is something that is within our control. And a lot of people don't realize that. So our thoughts create our feelings drive our actions, and our actions create our results. So every feeling that you have in your body is either going to come from a thought that you're thinking or something situationally that's happening that triggers a feeling in your body. So what is a feeling? Let's just destigmatize this and break down all the scaries and just get super basic about what a feeling is. It is a physical sensation in your body. But so many of us fear this physical sensation. So many of us avoid this. We hide from it. So a feeling, it really starts with a thought that is in your brain and then it's transferred into your body. So when your brain thinks a thought like, I am happy, then your mind is going to create that feeling of happiness in your body. So that feeling is triggered via what you're thinking. And that is then manifesting as a vibration in your body. So there are 4 specific ways that we as human beings experience emotions. So 1, we allow ourselves to feel it, which is what most of us don't do because we're trained to see that feeling is unsafe. We're trained to see that, oh, you're a woman who feels too much. You're definitely weak, or you're unstable. You're unhinged. You're too sensitive, right? I know I have received all of that feedback and all of that conditioning and I reject it, right? So a lot of us do not allow ourselves to feel feelings because we think that it's unsafe. We're terrified that we are going to feel that way forever, right? So that is one way that we experience it. A second way is we resist feeling it. So it's like, nope, nope, I am not feeling this. I'm shutting down. Goodbye. I'm out of here, right? The third way is we react to it. So we feel the discomfort of the feeling, or we feel the feeling in our body, and then we have a reaction to how that is actually, how we're experiencing the feeling in our body, and we actually have that reaction to it. So think of if you're feeling anger and you're like, ugh! And then you have that reaction to the anger, it's because we're dealing with a sensation in our body that either makes us uncomfortable, it's triggering us, we don't know how to process it, so we have a very strong reaction to it. And the fourth way is we distract ourselves from it. So hi, who are all of my checker-outers out there? Who are all of our master avoiders, where we just go into that cycle of avoidance, where we are either drinking wine, we're watching a lot of TV, we're scrolling just aimlessly on social media because it's such an easy way to just check out, right? We're doing anything other than experiencing the feeling, we're doing anything we can to avoid it. So the goal that I have for you is to empower you to feel it, not to resist it, not to react to it, or not to distract yourself or avoid it, right? So I want to know from you right now. Let's just do a quick check-in on where you're at. Based on these 4 responses to feelings, what is your go-to response? Do you feel it fully? Do you react to it? Do you resist it? Do you distract yourself and avoid it altogether? Like, what is your go-to way of operating? It is so important to know this because one of these ways is going to be your go-to, right? For me, I used to just avoid it altogether, right? Like any sign of feeling would come in, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't do feelings, right? No, that's not me. So I would just run at the first sight of feeling. So I was definitely an avoider and I would numb. I did anything I could to just check out to protect myself from feeling. And I was also taught through conditioning growing up, through seeing things in movies, through just the people that I was around, that things like alcohol was my number one tool, right? Oh, you had a bad week? Just go tune out, have a drink, right? Or something Like, okay, well, if you don't want to feel it, just definitely keep yourself super busy. Okay, good. I became the professional at doing that too, right? So I did anything I could to avoid. I did a lot of traveling. I would fly to the other side of the world and think, okay, it's not going to find me once I get here. I'm too far away. And then guess what? I'm on the most beautiful beach trying to live my best life. And here comes the pain from my past. I'm like, damn it, it found me again. So what is your lead way of doing? Really get honest with yourself about that. I don't want you to shame yourself. I don't want you to judge yourself. I just want you to get curious about what your go-to strategy is. Okay, now that we understand what a feeling is, now that we know how we respond to it, I want you to know two specific things about feelings because this is really, really, really important. So the first thing is, so many of us hold ourselves back from truly feeling a feeling because we fear that we will never come back. And here's what I mean by this. We think that this emotion that we're going to feel, let's say it's grief, is going to overtake us. So let's say you lost somebody that you love and you are absolutely terrified to feel the loss that is presented to you, right? And you're in a place where you're like, okay, I just can't feel this. So you stuff it and then you stuff it down as far as you possibly can. I used to call myself an emotional stuffer, right? So I would hope that I would just bury this as far as I could and that it would never find me again. And unfortunately, once again, that's not how it works, right? So what I find is a lot of women fear grieving, they fear anger, they fear resentment, right? Because then they think, well, I'm just going to be an angry, grieving, resentful person for the rest of my life. And that's not how it works. As adult humans, we are capable of feeling and processing any emotion. And once you process it, that emotion will pass. So we as human beings are designed to feel, but that's not what we're taught. We're taught that feeling makes us weak. We're told, hey, don't cry, right? We're told that life is only good when we're happy. We're told that we need to be over it in an instant. Oh, you're still dwelling on that? Get over it, right? Have a thicker skin. So these teachings have created a society that is programmed to believe that feeling is unsafe and we are petrified to experience what we perceive as negative emotion, right? And for me, at this point in my life, I don't really see any emotion as negative or positive. I more see it as comfortable or uncomfortable, right? So uncomfortable emotions for a lot of us would be things like grief, fear, doubt, insecurity, disappointment, embarrassment, shame, right? So when you're willing to feel any emotion, you're going to take on an entirely different level of empowerment and confidence in yourself because you're going to inherently know that you can feel anything and it's not going to sink you. You're not going to be an angry person forever. You're not going to be a failure forever. You're not going to be somebody who's just resentful forever, right? You can feel the fear, you can feel pain or doubt, whatever it is, and it's not going to overtake you. And when you step into that next level management of your mind and how you think and how you feel. Oh my God, that is true freedom. That is emotional freedom at its finest. So, for a lot of us, where we get stuck is we think that, okay, if I do all the things in life and I'm just avoiding the hard stuff, I'm going to get to the one point and all of a sudden I'm going to get here and everything's going to be great. And then there's just going to be this eternal land of happiness where it's just sunshine and rainbows and unicorns for forever, right? Unfortunately, that's not how life works, right? So what I see a lot of us do is we'll kill ourselves trying to make our dream life happen, being totally emotional in this pattern of emotional avoidance for our whole entire life. And then we get to this point that we wanted to be at and we hate how we feel. So your opportunity, and this is a collective growth opportunity, right, is to start really designing our lives built upon a foundation of how we want to feel. So we're going to take some really beautiful steps to do that together today. Okay, another truth I need you to know is that life is 50-50. And the moral of this story is really understanding that you're going to have days where there's going to be sadness. You're going to have days where there's going to be happiness, and you can't have one without the other. You might have days where there's both. I have seen somebody have, including myself, the highest of highs, followed by the lowest of lows on the same day. For me, when I launched my business, I had the highest of highs. And then that same week, I found out that my mom was diagnosed with cancer, which was one of my lowest of lows, right? So you can have those same things happen. I just had the same experience. I had new clients come into the CAN program. I'm celebrating on a high. And literally the next day I had to put my cat that it was 21 years old down, lowest of lows, right? It felt like I literally lost a family member that has been with me for over half of my life. So I want you to know that building the skill of emotional processing is your success guarantee. Because once you're willing to feel anything, that's when your success becomes inevitable. Because you don't graduate from feeling emotion. You don't graduate from feeling feelings. That's something that is going to continue to happen for the rest of your life. So the sooner that you learn how to emotionally process, how to elevate your emotional maturity, how to take your emotional IQ to the next level, the more successful you're going to be. Because you're going to be having these experiences in life where, let's say you're like a lot of the women I work with, and you have a high title, you're a C-suite employee, and now all of a sudden you have to fire somebody, and you have to sit in a chair and look across and know that you are literally making a challenge to this person's livelihood and ending their source of income. And maybe this is this person's favorite thing in life is their job, and you're literally taking that moment away from them, right? So a lot of us crumble in moments like that because we feel so terrible. We feel so guilty. We feel like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person because I had to do this. And we make it mean horrible things about who we are. We can't handle the discomfort from the other person. So then we crumble. And this is where I see so many women sink in business. And I had a boss do this to me all the time. She never wanted to have hard conversations. So she would put it on me to disseminate the information to the team. And then I became the enemy, right? Because she didn't want to deal with the challenging emotions that came along with being the boss. So emotions are going to come with us at every age, at every level. You can't outrun them. You can't stuff them. They're always going to find you. They're like that hideous little garden gnome that pops up and you're like, oh my God, I thought I removed you and threw you away. And it's like, hey, I'm back. So I invite you to get ahead of this. Pull it up to the surface. Let your skeletons out of the closet. Choose to see it and then heal it. That is what we do in the soul makeup world, is we heal from the inside out. I always say, soul makeup is like an internal makeover, right? So how you want to feel, that's an inside job. And so many of my clients fear feeling because they're like, okay, I can't deal with this. I don't know how. Okay, but you're designed to feel this, right? So every human being is designed to feel emotion. So I think that for a lot of us, where we've gotten wrong is, or gone wrong as a society, is we really have gotten into this place where feeling our feelings feels unsafe. And what this has trained our brain to do is our brain will tell us, oh, you're not supposed to be feeling this, or this is terrible and this needs to be over. And then we start questioning our strength because of what we're feeling, or we feel weak and then we beat ourselves up for these emotions coming up. And now it's like, oh, you need to stop being so sensitive. Why are you such a weak ass woman, right? You're supposed to be strong. Look how your mom was. She always just stuffed her emotions to the side and was there for everybody else, right? So I need you to know that buffering doesn't work. Avoiding is not a solution. Resisting it makes it bigger. So I encourage you to release it, to process it, to experience it, to make peace with it, because you are truly safe to feel it all. You're never going to feel one way forever. You can't have happiness without sadness. You can't have light without dark. You can't have ups without downs, right? Once again, life is 50-50. And this is why inside of the CAN program, I teach you how to process a feeling in 90 seconds or less, because learning how to do this is life-changing. And I don't know about you, but nobody ever taught me how to do this growing up. I never got to go through a Feelings 101 course like what I developed for the CAN program. And I never knew that feelings could be safe. I never knew that I could actually have an experience with my emotions that didn't feel like I was weak, or I didn't make it mean horrible things about myself because I was experiencing this feeling in my body. And that is why I created a whole entire section to serve in this area, because this is something I feel not enough people talk about, right? Because on the other side of learning this, what ends up happening is you reprogram your brain and you teach your brain that it is safe to feel. And you learn how to regulate your nervous system. So you're no longer living in this permanent state of freeze or fight or flight. And you no longer fear feeling, because you know that in 90 seconds, that feeling will be processed. So to get that support on how to really take that emotional processing to the next level, I invite you to join the CAN program. I'll drop the link so you can apply in the comments below. Once you click the link, you're going to be taken to my scheduler. You'll fill out a quick application and then pick your time for your one-to-one strategy session with me. So I offer every single woman considering doing the CAN program a free strategy session, because this is really your time to just get everything out, see where your growth opportunities live, and then I'll show you how I can specifically help you as your coach. And then at the end of the call, we'll decide if we're a fit to work together. So these strategy sessions are eye-opening, they're insightful, they're safe, they are inspiring, and not to mention, they're super fun. So I like to make growth fun. I think everything in life should be approached with fun. Why not, right? I think it's something we don't have enough of in our life. So I cannot wait to connect with you and discover what is possible. So tap the link in the comments to apply now, and we can get you that support you need to start really elevating your emotional experience in a positive way. Okay, so let's dive into how to unlock your potential by overcoming eight feelings that are keeping you stuck right now. So I find a common theme with the women that I work with, and they get into this place where they don't want to feel these specific feelings, right? I think the obvious ones are things like fear and doubt and insecurity, but I want to go deeper into eight specific feelings that I see as very, very strong blocks for the women that I work with. And how this will help you is I want you to learn and see that emotions can be used as a really powerful guide. So we can learn so much by diagnosing our feelings. So let's use these eight feelings as teachers to support us in getting where we want to go in life. And I want you to learn how to be very intentional about how we feel, because once again, we take action in life based on how we do or do not feel. So it is very important to understand this as you go into creating results in your life. So for example, let's say you want to start working out and you think of going to the gym, and all of a sudden you think, I don't want to do this. And that's the thought that you lead with, right? Because once again, our thoughts create our feelings. And then all of a sudden you feel dread in your body. Imagine how you feel, like what you're actually going to do in terms of actions when you're feeling dread. You're probably not going to get up and go to the gym. You're going to talk yourself out of it. You're going to do anything you can to avoid getting in your car and going to the gym. Or if you do go, you're going to half-ass it because at the core, you're dreading doing it, right? So imagine if you took on the thought, I don't want to do this, but I know it's going to be really good for me. It's a really subtle shift. And for me, when I make that shift personally, that creates a lot of motivation, because what I'm doing is I'm connecting to my future self, the future self that is going to be very proud of me for overcoming that initial dread and going to the gym, and who's going to feel so good afterwards and so proud of herself for actually following through with her commitment to go to the gym, right? So I see this as something to where when you connect to your future self and how you want to feel every single day, this is going to be such a powerful way to create that motivation to help you follow through. Let's use another example here. So let's say you want to start a business, or maybe you want to do something really big in your career. You want to ask for a promotion, you want to change jobs, you want to go to a different company, but you doubt that you are good enough, or you doubt that if you launch a business that it's actually going to succeed and generate revenue. Okay, so imagine you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can do this. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to feel doubt, right? So when you feel doubt, where I see a lot of women getting in their own way is they start overthinking it. They're creating a lot of confusion for themselves, right? And a confused mind does not make a decision. And when you're in that pattern of overthinking, you're going to lose time. And guess what you're not going to be doing when you're in that pattern of overthinking? You're not going to be working on a business. You're not going to be asking for what you really want. And you're not going to be generating any success because you don't believe that you can. And you're doubting if you can, right? So I want to use these two examples as a very, very easy way to see how our thoughts create our feelings and how we want to be very intentional about the feelings that we feel every single day. Because when I start working with someone in the CAN program, I ask them, how do you want to feel every day? And let's say they say to me, calm. And I'm like, okay, tell me about your current reality. Is there calm in there? And they're like, no, I'm working this job. I'm so stressed out all the time. I feel so much pressure. I feel like at any moment I'm going to break. I'm having panic attacks all the time. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Why are you choosing a life where all you feel is stress and anxiety and pressure, and you feel like you're going to break when what you really want is calm? So we've got to get this into alignment from a place of intention, from a place of awareness. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down these eight feelings. I'm going to show you what each of these feelings can teach you. And then I'm going to talk to you about how these feelings can block you. Okay, let's dive into this. First feeling, and I'm going to do the obvious one first, right, is doubt. So doubt, in terms of being a teacher for you, to me, when I see a woman doubting herself, all I see is that this is showing you where you need to build your certainty and your belief. So doubt will be present anytime there is uncertainty. That is normal. But for so many of us, feeling doubt is obviously an unpleasant experience. It does not feel good to doubt ourselves, right? So our brains are wired to seek pleasure. So if feeling doubt is unpleasant, guess what it's going to do? It's going to have you avoid doubt at all costs. Your brain is just doing what it's designed to do. So we all struggle with the fact that there might be uncertainty, right? That is a normal part of the human experience where we struggle. When we don't have the answers, it is scary. But here's the deal, is that you can do mass amounts of Googling. You can truly Google, and it's never going to truly conquer the doubt unless you choose to start creating certainty. So you can Google, should I leave my job? Should I have a baby? Should I end my relationship? Will my business succeed? Am I making the right decision? But Google can't answer these questions. Google does not have the certainty that you are looking for. So One of the biggest things that I had to master when I launched my business was making peace with the unknown, right? So this truly set me free in life because this programmed my brain to see that uncertainty is safe and not a threat. So I did the work on myself to normalize this in my mind. I reprogrammed my brain to see that doubt and uncertainty are a normal part of the human experience. So now when doubt and uncertainty come up, it's no big deal. It just is. It's a normal part of the process. It's normal for it to show up anytime I leave my comfort zone or don't have the answers, right? So I want you, when you're in a place of doubt, to just ask yourself, what do I need to feel certain right now? Because what that's going to do is help you to solve for the doubt in the moment versus spinning out in it, right? Okay, the second feeling is shame. So to me, when we look at shame as a teacher, what shame is going to show you is what you wish you would have done differently and where you feel that you don't measure up. So shame is going to reveal your regret. It's going to reveal where you don't feel good enough. It's going to reveal where you feel you've done wrong. But here's the interesting thing about shame is that it cannot exist in truth. So when we fall short of our standards, shame's going to come up. When we're hiding parts of who we are because we're afraid that people won't accept us for who we truly are, shame is going to come up. So shame is a feeling that is linked to societal disapproval and this fear of being seen for who you truly are or being judged for who you are or for getting it wrong. So we as humans are pack animals, right? We are designed to be together, and the second we feel any imminent threat to where somebody is going to vote us out of the pack and we're going to be alone, we start to panic. So for a lot of us, we really get disempowered by shame. Shame spins us out in a really big way. We fear, oh my God, they're all judging me. What are they thinking about me? But here's the thing, when you follow your shame, you're going to see yourself more clearly. So this fear of being shamed for who you are, it's actually really going to reveal the parts of you that you're hiding. So why are you hiding those parts of you? So I think of shame as it can be a toxic trait, but it can also be a powerful trait to teach you the parts of yourself that you're suppressing. So let's say you've lived your life by the standards that your parents set for you. Your parents wanted you to be an A-plus student. They wanted you to go to an Ivy League college. They wanted you to get the six-figure year job. They want you to live in a $1 million home with the white picket fence with a super successful partner and driving a luxury car and having all sorts of money, right? Like, let's say this is the standard they set for you, but that's not what you want for yourself. So what you're doing is you did everything they wanted you to do, but you feel this inner conflict because that's not how you want to live your life. That's not where your true desires live. You actually want to be doing something that doesn't have a lot of pressure. You don't want to be in a high visibility role. You don't care about making money. You don't care because that doesn't define you, right? So I want you just to look at, if you feel ashamed or if you feel afraid to show these parts of who you truly are. Like, I had a client who, she was working a multi six-figure job, and she's like, I hate every existence of my reality right now. And I'm like, well, what do you really want to do instead? And she's like, I just want to go walk dogs. That would make me so happy. And I'm like, why don't you do it? And she's like, because my parents would shame me for the rest of our life. I would literally be an embarrassment to our family. So the fear of being shamed for who you are is not only going to be something that is toxic because you're not going to be living in a place of alignment, right? I also see this shame is something that really sinks businesses every single day. And I once heard Brene Brown talk about this, and she said, once shame is in the walls of an organization, that's when we're really in trouble. So if you have studied Brene Brown's work, I love her. She is my queen. She defines shame as an intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. So we get into this idea that something we've experienced or done or failed at is making us unworthy of being ourselves, of being successful, of having connection. So this is a very unhelpful emotion, a very unhelpful feeling. And shame, if we go back to Brené Brown's teaching again, it can be a source of destructive, hurtful behavior rather than a solution or a cure. So I see a lot of times when we have shame in the workplace, right? A lot of times this is coming from a place of where employees feel irrelevant. So shame really matters because it leads to disengagement. And when we feel irrelevant as an employee, we feel like we're not seen, we feel like we're not valued, we feel like we're not recognized, that nobody cares about us, this is going to lead to disengagement. So I think that when we get into this place where we feel so disengaged, our only opportunity that comes after that is to protect ourselves, right? So when we are in that place of protecting ourselves, we're like, oh, well, why even show up? We're not going to contribute. We're not even going to care because why? Like, they don't even see me anyways. So disengagement can really be a toxic thing that is fueled by shame. So we want to make sure that shame is not present in our day-to-day because shame has a very toxic ripple effect on so many areas of our life when we're not using this as a teacher. Okay, feeling number three is pressure. So, pressure as a teacher, to me, what pressure can show you is where you're pushing too hard and where you need a release. So, if you want to decrease your quality of life, pressuring yourself is the exact way to do that. So, I work with a lot of women who are high achievers, who are very ambitious. They have huge goals. I am the same way myself. And I also have lived a life where all I've done is pressured myself. And I do not do that anymore as of a few years ago because I put myself into an extreme burnout because of how much pressure I put on myself to succeed, to have the perfect life, to be seen as good enough, yada, yada, right? And I find so many of the women that I work with don't know how to operate without pressuring themselves. And I find a lot of women tell me, I work best in under pressure, right? Situations of chaos really fuel me. And I'm like, oof, okay, that is a growth opportunity. Because to me, the only good thing that comes from pressure, my friend, is diamonds. Pressure long term leads to chronic stress, anxiety, depression, and burnout. It also creates an environment where a lot of drama comes with decision making because you're panicking about making the right decision or the wrong decision. You're worried about if you're good enough. What are people going to think about you? Pressure strains relationships with others and yourself. So nothing's ever going to feel good enough for you. And you're putting this pressure onto other people. And that can create a very challenging environment, both personally and professionally. So prolonged pressure, it can result in a loss of motivation and enthusiasm. And constant pressure is also going to contribute to extreme physical exhaustion. And no matter what you do, you're going to feel fatigued, right? Like no amount of naps is going to cure this fatigue. So, I want you to think about where are all of the ways that you are creating pressure in your life, and is this serving you? So, I see so many of us creating a reality where we are our own Instant Pot, right? Instant Pot is a pressure cooker. I love my Instant Pot, but I wouldn't want to live inside of it, right? It's hot, it's explosive. That's not an environment where I see people thriving. So, where in your life are you being your own Instant Pot, and how can you relieve that pressure for yourself? Okay, the next feeling, frustration. So, frustration as a teacher shows you what isn't working. So, who else out there is a human design generator? So, I am an HD generator. My not self theme is frustration. So, for me, frustration is one of my most unproductive energies. Nothing good comes from me being frustrated. So, frustrated, when we're frustrated, this is really a feeling of being upset or annoyed, or you have this feeling where you have this inability you can't change or achieve something, right? So you get frustrated. So this can create a lot of anger and irritability, a lot of anxiety and stress. You can have impaired judgment. You can have difficulty concentrating because you're so, frustrated all the time. I see a lot of women when they feel frustration, they can go through these periods of withdrawal, or they can feel aggressive, or they can just procrastinate because once again, it's just too much. And I see physical effects happening when we have a lot of frustration too, right? You're holding that stress and tension in your muscles. You're not able to sleep because you're so frustrated. You're dealing with this racing heart all the time because there's so many things that feel like they're going wrong. And because of that, this can strain relationships. You can have a lot of challenges when it comes to communication. So when we're in a period of frustration, use this as a tool to see what isn't working. And that to me, where I have found the most success is when I'm frustrated, I'm like, okay, this is showing me what I need to stop doing. So that way I can start doing something differently. And this puts me back into my power. So I don't spend any time anymore indulging in frustration. The second I see frustration coming up, I'm like, okay, we're going to pivot because this is not going to serve me. This is going to be a waste of time. I'm not going to entertain this emotion. I'm more powerful than my frustration, right? And you are the exact same. Okay, next up is stress. So, stress as a teacher can show you where you are feeling out of control. So, stress at the core of it is really a feeling of emotional or physical tension. And this can come from an event or a thought that makes you feel frustrated and angry and nervous and uncomfortable and out of control. So, I want you to think of stress as your body's reaction to a challenge or a demand. So, stress is going to drive how we react when we are under pressure or feel threatened, especially when we're in a situation where we feel like we can't manage it or don't have control over it. So I need you to know, stress is a very normal feeling that every single woman on this earth experiences. You are not alone in this, especially if you are a high achiever, especially if you are somebody who wants everything to be perfect. It is very normal for high achieving women to burn out because of stress, right? But stress is not a forever problem, and it's actually really simple to manage when you have the right tools. And that is why I created the Stress Melting Toolkit. So get yours. I'll put the link in the show notes as well so you can get yours. This is totally free. But what I created were five specific strategies to help melt away your stress in seconds. So you've got a meditation, you've got breath work, you've got a sensory approach, you've got a stress cleansing ritual, and you've got what I call the RRU method, which is a way to physically release stress in your body in an instant. So grab that, because what I don't want is for you to be in a place where you don't have tools to manage your stress, because stress is going to be a normal part of your day-to-day life. And there's two things that create stress, right? I call these stress sources. So you're going to have either thought-induced stress, which is you're thinking about your circumstances happening in your life that produce the feeling of stress in your body. So once again, our thoughts create our feelings. So if you're thinking something that creates the feeling of stress in your body, that is going to be a stress source. And the other thing is situational stress. So when we react to an experience that triggered our fight or flight response in our nervous system, we're going to feel stress. So this could be somebody cutting you off on a freeway. It could be somebody sending you an email that stressed you out. It could be a fight with your partner, right? So this would be something as an example of situational stress. So I don't want you to stay in this day-to-day stress cycle, because for a lot of us, what we end up doing is replicating a cycle every single day where we get triggered, the stress elevates in our body, we don't know how to manage it, and we never actually resolve it, so it just continues. So what I want you to do is actually resolve your stress, and that's what I'm going to teach you how to do inside the Stress Melting Toolkit. So make sure you grab your copy of that, tap the link in the show notes now so you can get that. I'll send it over to you right now. Okay, our next feeling is resentment. So how you can use resentment as a teacher is to show you where you are hurt and need healing. So resentment is really the consequence of our own agreeableness and being in a place where we are answering things. So think of it as being a people pleaser, right? You're doing something that you really don't want to do, and now you've agreed to this and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. And this gets us stuck in a loop. So I see resentment as being really rooted in we're living a life that isn't what we want to do. We're saying yes to things that we want to really say no to. So we've agreed, we've given answers, and now we feel resentful over it, right? So it's like, I have to carry the weight on the world on my shoulders. Why can't anybody else help me? I'm alone. I have no support, right? So when we get into a place where we carry that resentment, it's the wound of our own dependency. It's a quiet and ugly feeling that creeps in at the worst of times. And resentment is like the ulcer of the soul, because it has been known to have a dramatic effect on your GI tract. So it causes digestive issues, it causes stomach ulcers. And I once read a quote that has always stuck with me about resentment. It is, resentment is like drinking the poison and waiting for the other person to die. That has always stuck with me, because resentment is felt by most people when they are unwilling to be real about a problem, or they are unwilling to show people their true feelings. And that is what leads to that bitterness and that anger that leaves so many of us in this denial and disbelief. And then here we are fantasizing about how to get revenge or watch people suffer, and that will never, ever, ever serve you. So if you are in a place where you have resentment, maybe you are somebody who is a people pleaser and you've lived your whole life for everybody else and you're like, when is it going to be my time? And you feel bitter and resentful over that. When is it going to be your time? When are you going to make the conscious choice to put yourself first? Because when you do, guess what's going to end? Your resentment, right? When you stop saying yes to things that you really want to say no to, guess what's going to end? Your resentment. So resentment is really going to show you anytime you have been humiliated, hurt, frustrated, and you've suppressed that, that's what resentment is going to show you. So lean into that. Allow yourself to see, okay, I'm feeling resentful over this. Why did I get to this point? Why will always bring you to your truth? So just get curious about it, because what I don't want you doing is sitting there feeling resentful. And once again, you are the one who is suffering while you're waiting for the other person to suffer. It doesn't serve anybody involved. Resentment is a very, very unuseful feeling. Okay, our next feeling is grief. And grief is a very powerful feeling that can show you, that can be a teacher that shows you what you love, right? So the pain of grief is not only confusing, it's also so personal. And at times it's unfathomable. So every person grieves in their own specific way. And sometimes the way that we grieve can actually drive people apart, because they don't understand each other's grieving process. I remember this happening when I was growing up, because I had a very close friend from high school who was murdered, and her parents grieved in totally different ways. And they ended up separating because of it, because they could not get on the same page. One did not understand how you are over here doing this. If it was me, I would be doing this. And they could not get through this moment. And I see grief break up so many relationships. I see grief end relationships with, you know, people that I just never in a million years would have thought would have broken up, right? And it's because they're having two different experiences with grief. So unprocessed grief leave so many of us sleepwalking through life. It's like when we check out, right? We bury it so deep that we hope it never finds us again. We think to ourselves, if only I could have changed something. If only I didn't care so much, then I wouldn't be feeling this way, only to be triggered back into the sorrow when we walk by somebody who's wearing the perfume of our mom who passed, and all of a sudden, here comes a grief wave, right? We see somebody resembling somebody that we lost, and now here comes a grief wave. We hear a voice, or maybe it's like a voicemail or a voice recording of somebody who we lost, and now here's a grief wave, right? So grief can be lonely, it can be hollow, it can be a huge source of self-isolation. And I've actually had clients hire me to help them grieve. So you can listen actually to one of my client's stories. It's an episode titled Healing from Loss. I brought my client Jenny on because she hired me to help her navigate the loss of her dad. So he had cancer. We knew it was going to be terminal, and he ended up passing during our time together while we were coaching. And so we planned for this. And I know that sounds crazy to some of you, but we planned ahead of time how to pre-grieve. We planned through the actual loss, and then we did the post-grieving process. So when you go through grief, there are different stages that you're going to navigate. There's people that educate on 5 stages. I see it as more, I think it's more complex as that because once again, every single person processes grief in a different way. But the things that typically come up is you're going to go through denial, you're going to go through anger, you're going to go through bargaining, which is basically like, could I have done something different, right? You're going to go through depression, and then you're going to go to acceptance, which leads you to closure, right? So grief waves come and they knock you out. And I know I went through this extremely deep on after my miscarriage. I felt like the grief waves had hit me, and it was like I was just drowning underneath the ocean, getting tugged by a 100-foot wave. I couldn't see what way was up, I couldn't see what way was down, and I had to just wait for the grief waves to pass. So just know going into it, grief is a totally natural emotion. It is a very challenging emotion. But what I don't want you to do is hide from your grief, because this will 100% rob you of results that you can create in your life, because you can grieve and still have a positive life experience. And what breaks my heart is when I see people basically, and I'll give you an example that happened with my client. So another client had lost her mom. And when we first started coaching together, I noticed that every time we were coaching on something in business with her, you know, with what was going on with her professionally, she would kind of close down. And I'm like, why are you closing down? And after, I want to say it was maybe about a month and a half or 2 months of working together, she finally opened up and told me that she was really struggling with the loss of her mom, and that she was so upset, and her fear of success was that her mom wasn't going to be able to see it. So why even achieve success when her mom isn't going to be here to see it? Because her mom had been her biggest advocate. And I was like, what do you do to recognize your mom in your day-to-day life? And she's like, I don't. I just pretend like she was never here. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you know how it is when you blow a candle out and the candle just goes out? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, that's how I treated my mom's death. She just the candle went out and that was it. And I try not to think about her anymore, and I just try to pretend that she was never here. And I'm like, but if your mom was your number one advocate and your best friend, why are we closing the chapter on somebody who meant so much to you? And she's like, because it's too painful to actually think of her. And so as something that she buried, this ended up subconsciously sabotaging her success, because at every corner she's like, why even try when my mom's not here to see it? So we worked deeply on healing that grief and taking her through those different stages of it, and helping her to manage those grief waves, because that was blocking her from creating every single result she wanted to in business. And I had another client come up, that same thing come up. She had lost her grandparents, and she had never done any sort of healing work around it. She basically just buried it and prayed that the pain would go away. But her grandparents were her biggest influencers in her life, and we realized once again that was holding her back professionally. So what I don't want you to do is just bury the grief so deeply that it ends up sabotaging you in other ways, because that grief is meant to be felt. That grief is meant to be experienced, and with the right tools, you can navigate grief in a really safe and beautiful way. I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that it still hurts, right? I've definitely gone through things with even my parents pre-grieving. They're both still here with us, but they're both still fighting stage 4 cancer, right? It's like it's only a matter of time before they depart. So I've done so much work with the pre-grief process to make sure that I can be as equipped as I can be for when that moment comes, when the loss is imminent, and then what I can do to support myself on the other side of it. Because to me, life doesn't stop because we lose somebody that we love. It's our job to honor their memory. It's our job to keep their memory alive, to bring their memory into the next generation, to honor the life and the legacy that they created for us, and to just continuously feed these people love. I truly have this deep belief that because somebody departs from this earth, it doesn't mean that they're gone from our life. So why close that chapter? Why close that connection to this person that you loved so much, right? My dad does something that I absolutely love because he was very close with his parents. And anytime something good happens, oh, this is making me want to cry. Anytime something good happens, he looks up at the sky and says, "Are you seeing this, Mom? Do you see this, Dad?" And I absolutely love that he does that because my grandpa passed in 2001. My grandma passed in 1995. It's 2023, and my dad is still doing this on a regular basis. And when my parents do pass, when their time comes, I'm gonna do that with Micah, and I'm gonna say, look up and see, Dad, are you seeing this? Mom, are you seeing this? Because I want to keep their memory alive every single day, right? So obviously grief is powerful. I'm literally crying as we speak because it is so hard to lose somebody that we love. But I don't want that to be the end of your life, because for so many of us, when somebody that we love dies, a part of us dies that day too. But life doesn't have to stop because you lost somebody that you love, right? Okay, our next feeling is fear. So this is another one that's like, okay, Elise, this is super obvious. But when we look at fear as a teacher, this is really showing you what you don't want to lose. So when we look at fear is nothing more than a primitive emotion designed to keep us alive. So this is our body's involuntary response to a threat. So this all started in prehistoric days when we used to get chased by things like saber-toothed tigers and we would run for our life. But here's the thing, is that in modern day times, that same level of intensity in our body can come from an email, from someone cutting us off on the freeway, right? So we feel that same intensity of, oh my God, our life is being threatened right now by a small circumstance that happens in our day-to-day life. So for many of us, what we fear is actually fear itself. So we run at the first sight of fear. And I want you to see fear in the way that I see fear, because I really see fear as an ally. I define fear in my own, personal way of feeling excited about removing barriers, right? So that's my acronym for fear. So fear fuels me versus stopping me. And I love to look at anytime I'm afraid, I'm like, okay, cool. What am I actually afraid of? Like, what's my worst case scenario? And my brain will offer me the catastrophe of, okay, if I get on this flight, the flight might crash. Okay, cool. Am I willing to take that chance to live my best life? Yes, I am. If I go down in a blaze of flaming glory from the sky, then that was my destiny, right? So for me, I see fear as something that my brain is always trying to protect me. My brain is always trying to keep me safe. Once again, that's what it's designed to do. It wants me to be safe, comfortable, and feeling all sorts of pleasure. And anytime there's fear that comes up, of course, we're going to want to run from it. That's a natural human instinct because it feels very uncomfortable in our body. So I want you to diagnose, what does fear actually feel like for you? I want you to know on a first name basis, oh, that's fear. Okay, I feel fear coming into my body. It's hot, it's prickly, I feel tense. I feel my heart racing. I feel my blood going, pumping harder. I want you to know what fear feels like for you, because once you know and you're like, okay, that's just fear. Okay, what am I actually afraid of? Okay, the plane crashing, that's probably not going to happen. I'm going to get on the flight, right? Because you can disempower your fear in real time once you choose to see it. But for a lot of us, we never actually go beneath the surface. We're like, oh God, that's scary, run. And then we run because it triggers our nervous system, right? And then we go into fight or flight. So you can regulate your nervous system and use fear as an ally. And I want to offer you two words from, or two sentences from the song that I absolutely love, because anytime I go into a place of fear, I always let this come up and guide me, or I'll put the song on. So the song says, "Let your fears go. You might find your way back home. Let your fears go. You might find that you're not lost," because you're not lost. And your home within yourself is safe, right? When you learn how to regulate your nervous system, when you learn how to manage your emotions, you can close your eyes and go into this beautiful, safe inner world that you've created for yourself. That's literally what I've done for myself. That is what I teach women how to do every single day, to where you don't need to fear reality. You don't need to fear getting fired from your job, because you trust 100% with devout certainty that the next best opportunity that's meant for you is right on its way, right? Life would never close a door to an opportunity that isn't meant for you. So maybe getting fired is the best possible thing that could have ever happened to you. Sometimes when you are unwilling to move, life will make you uncomfortable. Life will make the decision for you, right? So if you've been putting off a decision and you know you really want to leave your job, a lot of times I see this happen with my clients, right? They'll end up getting fired and they're like, "Oh my God, this was the worst thing ever." I'm like, "It's what you wanted." Life made you uncomfortable, so you had no choice but to move. So now you got what you wanted. Let's go get the next best thing, right? Like, all of these fears can serve you in the highest possible way. All right, so these are the eight feelings that you can learn from and how they can potentially block you. So let's recap this. I just want to show you once again how these feelings can be your teacher. Doubt is going to show you where you need to build your certainty and belief. Shame is going to show you what you wish you could have done differently and where you feel that you don't measure up. Pressure is going to show you where you're pushing too hard and need a release. Frustration is going to show you what isn't working. Stress is going to show you where you're feeling out of control. Resentment is going to show you where you are hurt and need healing. Grief is going to show you what you love. And fear is going to show you what you don't want to lose, right? So I think these feelings are the most beautiful teachers. I think these feelings can be your allies. I don't want to see them blocking you. So if you are in a place where you find one of these eight feelings or another feeling that we didn't talk about today is blocking you and you want to get support on learning how to emotionally process, join the CAN program. I have an entire section that I call the Feelings 101 that will empower you to shift from fearing emotion to graduating to being the master of emotional freedom. So to join today, tap the link in the show notes now. You can submit your application. We'll have our strategy session and then talk about the specific results that I can help you create as your coach. Oh, all right, friends, what a first year together. Oh my goodness. I wish you all the most remarkable and safe New Year's. And if you are free this weekend, come join us for my annual goal setting workshop. This is happening at 10 a.m. Pacific time on December 30th. The link to join us is in the show notes. Tickets are $39 unless you're my client. If you're my client, you're into all these workshops for free. So I want you to come and join because this is something I have hosted since 2019. It is some of my clients' favorite workshops that I host every single year because we're just going to get you feeling clear and secure and grounded going into the new year. And this year, I'm going to be focusing specifically on how to live your best life in 2024. So if that's what you want to do, this is the perfect way to initiate that process because we're going to get specific about what that looks like, who you need to be to make that happen, and the specific actions you need to create that life and how to not block yourself from having what you want, right? Okay, so come join us on the 30th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Tickets are $39. Tap the link in the show notes to grab your tickets now. And we'll be back together next year, really next week, but you know, next year sounds so dramatic. I'm like, it's only a few days away. All right, I love you all so much. Have a beautiful New Year's. Oh, hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If this helps you, I would love for you to share the gift of confidence with a friend because this is how we all grow. So share this with your girls, a coworker, a fellow mama, or your fam on social media because we all need support in our confidence journey. So sharing can help us heal, feel better, and take steps to grow now. Also, I'd love if you would drop your rating in. Ratings and reviews help me so much more than you realize. And if you found yourself listening today and thinking, I need professional support, I would love to invite you to join the CAN program where I will teach you how to take confident action now. If increased confidence is what you want, this is multiple months of dedicated you time where we will do the deep work on you to create your most confident self, both personally and professionally. Because once you know how to generate the feeling of confidence from the inside out, the possibilities become endless and your results become inevitable. This is the most valuable investment you will ever making yourself, and I cannot wait to see who you become on the other side of doing this work on you. So visit me at soulmakeup.com to learn more, or come be my bestie on Instagram. You can find me at your soul makeup. See you next time.